Good morning.
Good morning.
An earlier morning than most. Today, in our Old Testament lesson, we get a window into the liturgical life of ancient Israel. There is a Latin phrase that church theologians and liturgists are fond of, lex orandi, lex credendi. You may be familiar with it. Roughly translated, it means the law of prayer is the law of belief. The way we pray tells you about what we believe. Conversely, if you'd like to find out what we believe, well then, take a look at how we pray. And today in the book of Deuteronomy, we look at how ancient Israel prayed. Today, we find out about what they believed. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and he brought us into this place. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. This here is the first full-fledged liturgy in the Torah, in the five books of Moses at the beginning of our Bible. It is as if we're picking up the little red book in the Israelites' ancient pews. Now, the first thing we learn from this liturgy is that the people called Israel are a people from elsewhere. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. The Aramean in question goes on named, could be Abraham, could be Jacob, but the fact remains. He was an Aramean, a nomad, a person from elsewhere, a not yet Israelite. The writer James McBride once wrote, speaking of his Jewish mother's family's journey to America, they were immigrants like any other. They didn't know what to keep or what to leave behind. I wonder if the first participants in this ancient liturgy thought about that, about the things they had kept and the things they had left behind. People who leave their home and country of origin behind know what it is like to sort through what to keep and what to leave behind. A set of fine china might not make the cut, but a family photo album might. A library collection would be too heavy for the journey, but a pocket dictionary might be just what you need to navigate a new language and culture. Furniture is a non-starter, completely out of the question, but a child's first baby shoes, a class ring, a small plaque affixed to your family's ancestral home, all these small, seemingly insignificant things, all these keepsakes of value to none but you alone, all of these might make it into your bag for the journey. I wonder if you can imagine what you might bring with you. Can you look around your home in your mind's eye, pick out the one thing needful, the thing you couldn't leave home without? Now, of course, the things we keep with us when we leave home aren't just perishable items. They are stories and histories, memories about who we are and where we came from. And this ancient Israelite ritual is a container for just those kinds of stories, those kind of keepsakes. It's a reminder to the Israelites about what they ought to remember and about what they should not forget. They are a memorial in time. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. It is easy to forget that we are not self-made people. It is easy to forget that we are an accumulation of collective strivings, the culmination of the blood, sweat, and tears of our ancestors, and the grace of a God whose mercy is immeasurable. We too could use a reminder about just how dependent we are on the God in whom we live and breathe and find our being. Our worship, our liturgies, are meant to point us toward the truth of our origin. Creatures made in the image of God, wholly dependent on God's grace for our survival. If these liturgies fail to do that, then our worship is meaningless. In the face of the myths of rugged individualism and stoic self-reliance, in the face of a culture that sentimentalizes the past and distorts the truth of our present, we come to this place of worship to remember our story. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. By recounting who we are and whose we are, by remembering what we ought never to forget, we attempt to redirect our selfish ambition toward selfless charity, our self-contentment toward gratitude, our forgetfulness toward right remembrance about where our true citizenship lies. We need these reminders. We need memorials in time to our continued reliance on God's grace and mercy. And we also need to remember to pay it forward to the landless stranger in our midst, the one who reminds us of our own origin story, the one whose livelihood enables our abundance. We are now in the season of Lent. This, too, is a memorial in time. The reason we observe Lent for 40 days is manifold. It points to the stories of our faith. For 40 days, Noah's family survived in the ark. For 40 years, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness. For 40 days, our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in the desert. Another way to think about Lent has to do with its place in the calendar year. If you divide the 40 days of Lent by the total number of days in the year, you will find that Lent occupies roughly 10% of our year. Think of Lent as a tithe of your time, a dedication of a portion of the year toward remembering who we are and where we came from. I wonder what you might do with this tithe of your time to remember the story of your faith. You should also be aware that, though Lent properly involves repentance and self-examination, there is a constructive element to it too, a remembrance of the abundance of God's mercy, a looking back so that we may look forward to the promise of Easter resurrection. After all, our passage from Deuteronomy concludes not with self-denial, but with celebration. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Friends, let us observe a holy Lent together. Let us celebrate what God has done for us and what God has yet to do with the likes of you and me. Amen.